Good. How are you?
Good. Well, look, let's get started. And before I get into this week's agenda, let's just kind of go around and figure out where everybody is, any struggles, any successes, and what's kind of going on with you and your engagement with Supernova. So, let's start with Peggy. Peggy, how's it
Okay.
going with you?
You know what? I'm gonna lose you for just a minute. I'm driving. I'm going
Okay.
in a tunnel. Can you catch me at the
Yeah,
end?
I'll get
And I'll be right
you
back.
where are you going
Thanks.
through the
I'm going through a mountain right now. I'll be back.
Okay. Good enough. All right. Let's start with you, Gail. What's going on with Supernova and your relationship with it and any opportunities coming? Any plans?
Can you hear me? I don't have any struggles, but I also don't have any new, I guess opportunities
Okay.
right now.
All right. How's it being received with clients you're communicating with?
It's received well. I haven't really had anyone say they didn't want
Okay.
contact.
That concierge service. Okay. Chuck, how's it going with you?
Well, we ran across a few challenges. One that I really discovered today was that how we had segmented the client list. Some of it was segmented by household, and then some was just account size. So we had some households that are well above our minimum, but then had a small account that showed up in the small account bucket.
Right.
So, Michael and I have to work on that just to make sure that the
That
right
households
people
are
are being
aggregating.
called.
Do you all
But
aggregate households at Morgan Stanley?
yeah, we do. But somehow,
They slipped through the cracks, huh?
it slipped through the cracks. I mean, a lot slipped through the cracks. It's a big crack.
Okay.
So that has to be corrected, really before, we're going to correct that this week. We're not
Okay.
going into next week with that issue. That will be resolved this week.
Okay.
So that, that's where we are. And we haven't had a chance to,
Okay.
catch up. We have a catch up meeting tomorrow morning at 9 with the team just to
Okay.
see where everybody is.
Okay.
So, we should have a better idea tomorrow morning, because I need updates from Michael. I need updates from Gail
Right.
on, who they're calling, how things are going with that.
Okay.
We tried to have a call yesterday, but there was a technical issue. I called the meeting, but then I accidentally canceled the meeting, and I was wondering why nobody was on the call. It was because I had canceled the meeting like 5 minutes before.
That'll certainly get them off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, tell them it's canceled.
Okay. All right.
So we'll, it'll be worked out
All right.
this week, and next week we'll be ready. We'll be, full steam ahead.
Michael, how about you? What's going on with you and your understanding of the materials? Any questions?
Well, for me, just to give you an update,
A little
prior
closer to
to
the mic. Get a little closer to the mic if you wouldn't mind.
One second. Here, let me turn off my. Can you hear me a little better now?
You're a little muffled, but we'll deal with it. Go ahead.
Okay. So for me, I've been going through the list. The higher tier clients, 250 and up, I think we got that sorted out the right way by the household. So I've been nailing 7 to 10 calls a day, just
Okay.
reaching out to clients. So far we got eight scheduled. And then I left a lot of messages. A lot of clients haven't picked up, so I left messages, not leaving too much detail, just letting them know that, I'm calling on behalf of Chuck and Peggy, and give me a call back.
Okay.
And as far as the way how these clients have been receptive to it. Most of them, for the most part, have been okay with it. There's some clients who are saying they don't like it. They want to be able to call Peggy or call Chuck.
They just want to infringe on people's time whenever they feel like it.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't do that with their CPAs, and they don't do that with their lawyers.
Yeah, right. So I take it as a lighthearted joke. One of them who was kind of adamant about that was Demo, Joseph Demo.
Right.
And he's like, no, I'm going to continue calling whenever. And so I just said, hey, okay, no worries. We'll go ahead and, notate your account as such. And, I didn't want to push back too much. One thing that I guess if there's any questions on my mind, it's about the butlers. I mean, I guess that's something I haven't been able to touch up on. I went back in the PDF reading up on that, and
they get the 401 service. Butlers get the 401 service. You know, they get four contacts and one review.
Right.
Okay.
But yeah.
So there were butlers on that list, Michael?
No, there weren't no butlers on the list. That's something that I was going to touch base with you in tomorrow's meeting about what butlers, if any, you'd like me to add on that list. Because obviously, I mean, 3D's not going to have that, any potential prospects or anything like that. So I want to touch base with you on that.
So when you schedule, like you're putting them in the scheduler, the Supernova scheduler?
Correct.
Okay, so I don't see that. So I don't know that you got some schedule. So how do we bridge that, Curtis, to where I'm seeing what he's seeing?
Well,
and me too.
You know, number one, do you have a way, Michael, where the schedule is on a shared platform so everybody can see it?
I'm sure there's a way. I don't know of it now, but I will do some research on it and get back to you on that.
I'm sure there's a capability because, teams see everybody's emails. They should be able to see the scheduler as well.
So right. What we can do is share the Outlook calendar.
Right.
And so Michael will give you the capability of scheduling those calls.
Right.
And then you could So we can do it that way. All right. But far as actually seeing the scheduler, I've never seen it before, but I would imagine it's a simple CRM kind of thing, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
It's more like a spreadsheet.
Yeah. It's like more of a spreadsheet. So you can see, all your clients, your prospects, everything gets scheduled in Supernova. And so, Michael, as practice manager, you got to make sure that that's happening for everybody. Now, let's back up for a bit and let's make sure that the team is having, you hop on Zoom, you have a 10-minute huddle-up session, okay, every day. To start the morning. This is what I got going on. This is what we're trying to accomplish and move on. Then at the end of the day, have a 10-minute session and recap what was accomplished. Did we accomplish what we set out to accomplish? Okay. That should happen every day. Once a week, there should be your game board meeting where you're talking about this was our goal for planning, our goals for plan implementation, our goal for assets, recurring fee revenue, and prospect appointments. Did we accomplish that? Okay. If not.
So that's where we are now.
Yeah.
So based off the program, so I'm under the impression that we're going into this, but you're saying we should be here now.
Yep. Start moving into it. And, so that we get the processes nailed down. Now, you know, Gail, from a leadership perspective, got to make sure that those meetings are happening. Okay. Got to make sure that that gets done. Now, one of the things that we will talk about by way of review, the director of planning, when I get on the phone and I ask you, what's going on? How many plans did you do this week? What were the results? What were the outcomes? You got to be able to tell me what the outcomes were. Okay. Now, who's responsible as the director of planning?
I got to review that.
Is that Peggy or Gail?
I think it's me and Eugene.
Okay.
I mean, Eugene. Oh my God. Forgive me, okay. Michael. Like you and these first name. Like, okay. I want to call you Eugene all the time. I'm sorry.
So the question I have for you, Gail, is, you know, how many appointments did the team have this week? Did they schedule six and only four showed up? If only four showed up, why? You know, how many plans were done? So this measurement, this idea of measurement, it's a hard one because it casts this net over performance. And without performance, you're not really succeeding, right? So let's kind of suck it up and ask ourselves, are we getting the performance? How many prospect appointments did we have this week? You know, those are driven by centers of influence. How many times did you use the VIPSA script? Okay. Now.
So I'm going to really have to be working with Michael on the scheduler to see what everybody is doing to be able to report that out.
Exactly. So when you have your game board meetings, quite frankly, you know, the director of planning reports on the team's progress. The director of implementation reports on the team's progress and on the 24-month calendar. The director of brand, which is Michael, is reporting on the progress with the folders and scheduling clients, number of clients scheduled, number of butlers scheduled, what's happening with the rest of the households that aren't scheduled. Director of leadership, what's your progress on segmentation, profitability, growth, client retention? Okay.
Hey, Curtis, is Peggy on the call?
I don't think so.
No, she dropped off.
She dropped off.
She had to get through a tunnel. Okay.
All right. So here's where we are. Since Peggy's not on the phone, we're kind of working around Peggy. Okay. And so, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I'm kind of guiding ship here,
right.
But I'm trying to respect it. There's, you know, there's always a leadership conflict with Peggy and I, but you know, I'm really taking over the director of planning and making sure all this stuff gets done.
Okay.
So that's where we are. I don't know if that was obvious or not, but, you know, that's what we're trying to work within the confines of kind of pacifying someone who hasn't bought all the way in to what we're doing.
Well, she's only been on like, what?
Yeah, but there's some external, issues that are going on. So, where I am is that, you know, I wanted us to get to the segmentation. So that kind of pushed us back some, but starting next week, you know, this was going into the accountability week starting next week because we were kind of getting everything done, getting the letters out, getting the segmentation done, getting the calls done.
Right.
So going into next week, we were into accountability mode and, you know, putting things into place.
Sure.
So we had our snafu with the spreadsheet, this week, but I think we're going to have all that under control, but you know, I'll be taking the leadership role on this going forward and just kind of just working within the confines of the team. Because as I said, you know, we've got almost everybody just all in. We've got one that's not 100% in. So that's what we're working with right now.
Yeah. You know, look, the team dynamics are, let's take a moment and talk about team dynamics. Let's see if I have my book in front of me. Here we go. Look at the Supernova Teams book. And there's a chapter in here on team dysfunction. And let's talk about that for a moment. It's chapter 13, page 149 of Supernova Advisor Teams. I don't know if you all have got that book yet, but
I have the audio version.
Okay, good.
But is it in this one? Can you see this? This is the Supernova Advisor. I guess it wouldn't be in that one.
No, it's the one I wrote. Supernova Advisor Teams, A Pathway to Excellence.
Okay.
So, and this book is all about teams and team dynamics. And what I do in this book is there's an elephant in the room and nobody's talking about it. Okay. And the elephant in the room is disguised as the absence of trust. Each team member has got to thoroughly trust each other. Number two, nobody wants to talk about things that kind of create conflict. Okay. Now, the one thing about teams, which is healthy, especially diverse teams, is that having a little tension in order to move the team forward has got to be welcomed. Okay. So you got to have this welcoming of differences of opinion. Okay. Then but some people keep their mouths shut because they're afraid of the fear of conflict, so they don't say anything. It becomes the elephant in the room. Number three is lack of commitment. I've been doing it this way for 15 years, and I'm not about to change. Okay, so you're not committed to the process. And you're going to be continuing on the treadmill, and you're not going to grow as fast. You're not going to get the kind of performance that this team is capable of having. The fourth one is avoidance of accountability. That is when a team member doesn't take responsibility for their actions or their responsibilities. They put them off. The fifth is inattention to results. Okay? So if your goal for the month of October is to do $50,000 in business for the team, did you hit your goal? If you didn't hit your goal, why not? If your goal was to get 3 to 4 new client relationships, did you achieve that? If not, why not? You're not getting the client referrals because they're not into the concierge practice yet. You got people on the fringe that aren't believers. Now, the persons that should be communicating the service model to clients is not necessarily Michael, but it's Gail, it's Chuck, and it's Peggy. Now, if these things aren't being done, the chances of outperforming, getting to $1 million, $2 million, or more are going to be challenging. So that's that's a little bit about team dysfunction. So there's team dysfunction, and then there's these processes in place. And in the first chapter of this book, I write about stepping outside your comfort zone. And what that really is it's doing things that make you a little bit uncomfortable that you're not used to doing. Okay. So having said that, you know, let's get this team, you know, really, really cracking. You all have that, you know, that potential, you know, to move the team forward. And you're probably also feeling a little bit overwhelmed by the fact that you're dealing with this pandemic. Okay. So, you know, I fully, fully understand that. And so let's go forward. Now,
well, I think for us, Curtis, for us, I'm just expecting this crew to do the majority of the supernova, and then Peggy will do her business to add to the revenue of the team.
Right.
That's how it's going to shake out. You know, because they are, like, she has every right and entitlement to whatever we do, because she and I, we've been partners for years. Right. So, you know, that cannot change unless she decides it will change. But this is the crew, and this is what we'll be doing, and Peggy will do her business until she decides that she's not going to do it anymore.
Okay.
If that makes sense. I don't see a way around it, to tell you the truth.
Right. I get it. The other thing that I would think about is, you know, to the extent that you might be able to draft another member onto the team that wants to get total buy-in to Supernova. Now, you're not going to do that right away, but thinking about it, and we'll talk about how do you onboard a new team member. Okay. Let's go through some of the materials for Chapter 7. Did everybody look at the video? For number 7?
Yes.
Okay. So the big thing about 7 is, again, it's accountability, scheduling, and white workflow, which means that everybody, to make the team work, you know, you all just saw the NBA championships, and I'm so sorry that your Miami Heat didn't win the game, but the Lakers won.
We were just happy to be there, Curtis.
Happy to be there. I get it.
Nobody expected that. Yeah, we had already made plans. And so the team was as surprised as everybody else was.
And they played hard. I mean, they played great.
They did. Yep.
We'll be back next year.
Next year. Okay.
Next year. That's right.
But notice how.
That's like the only Florida sport that excels.
Uh-huh. Well, look at those,
No, it's not true. The Marlins were in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Have they won a Super Bowl?
That's the Dolphins. Everybody else manages. We managed
1972. The only team to go undefeated and win.
That's
okay.
It. Yeah.
All right.
Our teams managed to string together championships ever so often. Looks like the Marlins were in the playoffs. So.
Okay. All right.
Gail, stick to Jersey.
So the analogy.
At least we got some bragging rights on some Super Bowl.
Right. So look, the analogy really is that every player has a role and a responsibility on the team. You got your guards, you got your forwards, you got your center. Everybody knows their job. And they execute it well. Okay? And that's the same with this team. Everybody's got a role, and they got to execute it well. Not average, but above average. So, you got to keep track. You got to measure yourselves and hold yourselves accountable. In the scenario of the enthusiastically endorsed introductions, you know, this sheet should go in the client folder, copy of it. It's a reminder that they need to go through and see if, and you can add some names or change some out if you want. You know, I was talking to another team in Florida and they said, well, we should have a, what's the surgeon that does the knee stuff and the shoulders and all of
orthopedic.
That?
Orthopedic
surgeon. I said, you ought to put that in there. I'm thinking, yeah, you put in anybody in there that you want, but you know, can you enthusiastically endorse them so that you're building your golden Rolodex? So you're asking the client, oh, you have an attorney and you're writing it down. You have somebody involved in taxes. Can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? If they can't, then you look at your golden Rolodex and say, look, I have someone that many of our clients are working with and I met with them. So what you want to do is certain names may continue to come up. And what you'll do is you will ask for an introduction. And then when you get that introduction, you're going to do a Zoom and you're going to talk about what each member of the team does. Okay. So I did this drill with a team on an earlier call and I said, okay, I'm this person who's getting introduced to your team. What are you going to say to me? So I'm walking in your office. Michael, what's your role on the team? Articulate that to me.
I am the director of brand management. So I am the point of contact.
Okay, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to talk like me. I want you to talk with confidence. Okay?
Okay.
Have some inflection in your voice. You know, my name's Michael. My role on the team as the director of brand is to make sure that we onboard your relationship properly. Any account activity is done by me. And also if there's ever a problem in the account, I want to make sure that I hear about it and I provide a 1 hour response to any problem with a 24 hour resolution. Is there any questions that you might have regarding my role, Mr. Jones? No, that's good. Okay. You know, sell me that you deserve to be in that relationship on that team and are being impactful with that client. Okay? So practice, drill, rehearse. Gail, what's your role on the team?
My role is director of planning and leadership for the team. And what that means is that I am mostly focused on creating financial plans for the clients, also organizing the team's meetings. And I didn't get enough of what else I was going to say to that.
Okay. No problem. What I want you to do is I want you to get prepared. I want you to be able to articulate your role. You know, what is plan? You know, my role on the team is to make sure that every client has an updated plan. Mm-hmm. And what that is, it's a roadmap for success. And it's one of the values that we provide our clients. To give them direction, a sense of goals and goal accomplishment. Are there any questions that I might be able to ask, Mr. Jones? Okay. Let's come out with these powerful statements. You know, I want to know how you're going to benefit me. Chuck, what's your role on the team?
My role is, these roles are changing, by the way. So my role is the team leader. My role is to make sure that everyone's held accountable, and the team functions as it should.
Okay.
That's why I'm here.
Okay. I am the key relationship manager on the team. I am the interface between the client, our folks in marketing and product, and making sure I bring the value of comprehensive and holistic services to this relationship. Bang. Notice I didn't say I'm a financial advisor at Morgan Stanley. I'm talking about this in terms of benefits that that client is going to receive. Okay?
Yep, okay.
It's all the little things that help you all excel. So leader, challenge your teammates to be able to articulate their value. Okay. Now, so with the enthusiastically endorsed model, ask every client, you know, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? You know, articulate the month where all those calls are going to take place and put that down as one of the agenda items for your month of November. Okay? Now, and what you want to do is turn these providers into a networking group. You know, a good CPA can get you 12 personal introductions. A good COI should provide 12 introductions per year. Now, Gail, your role is to have 6 as one of the producers. Chuck, you've got to have 6. Peggy's got to have 6. I mean, and see, you can't bring or onboard that many client relationships if you haven't done the segmentation, if you haven't right-sized your business. Okay. So right now, in some ways, that business is managing you. I want you all to get to a point where that business is you are managing the business. You know, you say, yeah, you're free to call me, but I want one call each month where I have a specific agenda that I can work with you to make sure that the standard of care that we provide is in accordance with all of the regulatory concerns that are out there, or however you want to word it, standard of care. So don't let these folks manipulate you. Say, yeah, you're free to call me and make arrangements. But what I'm trying to do is make sure that I can give you the uninterrupted service that you deserve. Okay? And the avoidance of phone tag if I may not be available. Okay? All right. Now, let's talk about other topics to use when talking to your clients every month. Now, these are the non-urgent topics. So when you're setting forth your client agendas, so let's get into November for a moment. What topic is your team going to talk about for November?
We're not there yet. We're not there. We'll be there starting next week, but we don't have our 24-month topic list yet.
Okay.
Because we're about a week behind.
Okay. Got to get your topics done.
I wanted to just, and I should have mentioned this the last week. There is, and I don't know whether you are familiar with it, Chuck. It's called the BOCA standard. Our last branch manager would have topics for every single month. So that might be something that we can use. I've been trying to find it and I can't seem to find it, anywhere, but I'm going to see if I can't get it from somebody else. But every single month, there was a topic to talk about, whether it was tax planning, whether it was...
You got a list in your guide. So,
okay.
You know, you can face off with that list and face off with whatever your manager suggested, but face off with what your clients need. Between the three, you're going to have your agenda of topics. Now, we're year end here in November. What makes sense? Tax loss harvesting?
Yep.
Mandatory distributions? You know, tax minimization strategies? There ought to be a discussion around that come November. These are things that have to be done before year end. Okay. Now, let's talk about other topics. Planning topics. These are topics of interest that are non-urgent. Beneficiary designation review. Titling as per your estate planning instructions. College planning. Charitable gifting strategies. Taxes. And this is on page 66 in your guidebook. Number two, topical economic solutions. Okay. What are people concerned about? Concerned about the elections, right? Concerned about the Supreme Court justice. Has Morgan Stanley made any comments about what's going to happen as a result of the election? What's your stance? That's a topic for discussion. Here's our take. Communicate that. Introduce solutions that would protect or add alpha based on the economic challenges, current market, structured products, alternative investments.
Curtis, I hate to interrupt you, but I just got a text from the office manager that we have an emergency with one of our clients.
Okay.
So I'm going to mute and then I'll take care of that. I'm not off. I'm just going to talk and listen.
Sure. I understand. Sorry about that. And then there's the possible technical asset allocation adjustments. If they're over concentrated in a certain sector, you know, there's been a lot of appreciation. You know, you start off and your asset allocation mix looks really good. Then all of a sudden a couple of stocks have soared and it throws the mix out. You got to bring things back into balance. So those are topics. Family passions, things that these folks are involved in, like community involvement, children, current activities, community projects, lifetime milestones, things that you get, anniversaries, birthdays. And if you have interests that match your clients, you can perhaps introduce you to one of their charitable boards. Okay. Now, I want to also talk about any questions on that so far. Yeah? Questions?
No questions. I'm sorry. Okay. I was responding to this to the folks that had been reaching out to us. So my apologies.
Oh, no worries.
No questions.
Michael, any questions for you?
Not on this. Well, yeah, I have some questions around the scheduling tool with the, let me pull it up here, the meeting cycles. As I was going along, Brad, I was trying to, you know, make for like a easier flow by telling clients, you know, the first Monday, second Monday on one day, and then the next day, for example, today's campaign, every client that I spoke to, and I didn't make contact with, I was telling them, you know, the second Tuesday or the third Tuesday. But the media cycle, the 6 month gap period, can you touch up on that a little bit?
Yeah, so look, the concept is 12-4-2. So there's 12 contacts. There's four reviews, with two of the reviews being telephonic and the other two
in person.
To be in person, but right now we're doing Zoom. as maybe a substitute for the in-person. So now, you want to schedule that accordingly.
And should I be inputting everything under the monthly schedule tab or the clients tab? Because I noticed that I've been doing it all on the client under the clients tab. But when I switched over to the monthly schedule tab, now I have, you know, this client here for quarterly review. You know, I explained to him it was a monthly call, but now I'm seeing, I'm just trying to familiarize myself with this spreadsheet. And I
feel like, okay, so have you had a session with Cindy Bowie on how to use the scheduling tool, Michael?
We did. I didn't know if I could reach out to her on a whim.
Call her.
Okay, all right.
She's the expert on that. Yeah, she's an expert on
that. I'll give her tomorrow.
Okay, good. All right. Bank of Trust. Let's talk about that. So you're going to 1242 all the clients. You know, look, you're not, if everything is the same and you haven't differentiated yourself, you know, out there in the market, then everybody's going to think you're just another group of advisors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're really trying to perfect your concierge practice and level of service. Now, the Bank of Trust is like when you have relationships with clients, it's like a savings account. If the markets don't go your way or you can't be available for a call, they say, that's okay because you're always available to me. You're always doing things for me. So mm-hmm. I can overlook this. That's the Bank of Trust. So that's why we're doing all of these process-oriented things, this concierge practice, to establish that Bank of Trust. Okay? So it's like you've got these built-in deposits on the part of your clients that respect you, that like you. Okay? Which means that if there's a time you can't be available or you have a one-hour response to a problem with a 24-hour resolution, but it's going to take you 48 hours to get that done, they understand. Okay. But it's all about doing what you say you'll do. If you say you're going to do 12-4-2 and you're doing 6-1, that doesn't work. That doesn't get it. Okay. So you create this bank of hope. When you're doing the right thing consistently for your client, they're giving introductions, you're helping them without a thought to reciprocity. Now let me tell you about reciprocity. Just to understand that. If I take somebody out to golf and they have a good time, then I take them to the 19th hole and we have a beer and maybe some hors d'oeuvres or maybe even dinner, then they leave with a good feeling that they were well taken care of. And generally, you know what they say? I had a great time. Next time, let's do it at my club. That's reciprocity. You want to get that level of engagement where clients want to reciprocate with the good value that you brought to the table. Okay. All right. Last thing is the 24-month calendar for marketing events. Now, I'm going to tell you something interesting, what my fraternity is doing, which I thought was pretty neat. They are having a virtual brunch on Saturday. They've hired a DJ, and the DJ is going to do this mixology thing. There's going to be a mixologist who's going to show us how to make this drink. So there's going to be about 30 or 40 people on this Zoom. And the DJ is going to play the music, and we're going to eat, and we're going to laugh, and we're going to talk and talk about different things, what have you. And they ship the box with all the ingredients and the card to be ready to do all this stuff on Saturday. You know, so now we're doing virtual events. Now, I want you to think about the empathy associated with the client, okay? I don't know about you, but they're exhausted. They're exhausted by the pandemic. They're exhausted by this whole election stuff that's going on. You know, they may be working from home on a Zoom. Kids are supposed to be on a Zoom call with their teachers. The husband is on a Zoom call with his employer. Things are running amok, and it's burning them out. Create something that helps to energize your clients. You know, I used to, as a manager, I used to do something about every 3 months. I would have the barbecue softball game. I would have the Cinco de Mayo party. I would have the Indianapolis 500 Budweiser bash. You know, just things that get people feeling good about themselves. I had the karaoke deal where I got the restaurant and we had the people come in, and I was doing Marvin Gaye and teamed up with another assistant, and she did Tammy Terrell. Big fun. Okay. Sounds corny, but big fun. Start thinking about, in this pandemic, the things you can't do with clients, but think about the things that you might be able to do virtually to show some appreciation, break the monotony. Okay. Which is always, you know, a kind of a fun thing to do. All right. So get a 24-month calendar of some marketing events, and maybe think about, you know, in groups of 20 or 25, what you might be able to do to show your appreciation for your clients. All right. Okay. Now, for week 7, which is this week, I want the director of planning to report on multi-generational planning progress and review and the segmentation of clients. The director of implementation discuss progress on the 24-month calendar. Director of brand report on the scheduling progress. Director of marketing report on the 5-step process for developing COIs. How are we doing? Does everybody have at least 3? Are you moving towards 6? Report on your progress. Director of leadership. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you to expand a little bit more on the multi-generational planning. Like, what do you mean?
Estate planning. You know, where, you know, they're taking care of, you know, they may leave a legacy for children, who happen to be adults, and their children. That's what I mean by multi-generational.
Okay. So am I finding out if someone has that in place?
Yeah. Do you have a trust in place? Do you have an estate plan? You should find that out by virtue of the financial planning that you're doing. And that should be a profile question that should be asked.
Okay.
Okay, makes sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. And the director of leadership report on the prospects, the growth, and overall health of the team. And you've already alluded to, you know, where there are aspects of team dysfunction. Now, you can choose to ignore it, or you can choose to, you know, see what you can do to make that person, help that person become more of a factor, you know, on that team. Okay. All right. That kind of concludes today's session. I'm going to go around the table and answer any questions, and you tell me what you value today. Let's start with you, Chuck.
You know, it's, I think we're constantly playing catch up, but I think that, we'll be on track Monday, starting Monday.
Okay.
And I think that, we have an element of team dysfunction. It's all going to come down to how we handle it. And you know, we'll handle it the best way possible, so that it benefits everybody.
Right.
But, you know, we're not going to allow, team dysfunction to slow the ship. It may be a little rocky, but you know, the ship will sail. And we will reach our destination, you know, and it may not be easy, and we may hit some storms, but you know, the we will sail definitely.
I'm your nudge. I keep nudging you, you know, not wanting you to give up or to quit here. So Michael, tell me what you're valuing here today.
What am I valuing? Kind of like what Chuck mentioned, just handling the stress, day-to-day stress, the obstacles that come your way, and trying to overcome them as much as possible. So in my case, ran into a little hiccups with the scheduling. So just getting together with the guests to help me overcome that.
Okay.
You guys there, not just along the way, so that should be something I thought.
Now I want your other teammates to bring out that inner strength in you, Michael. I want to see your ownership. I want to see your advocacy. Okay. You know, I want to see your enthusiasm. I know it's in there. I want to see that come out. Okay.
He's not loud like Gail.
Okay. Well, come up to at least 50% of where Gail is and you'll be fine.
All right.
Okay. All right. Okay. You can do this. Gail, what are you valuing here?
I value the fact that you do keep pushing us to be uncomfortable, about kind of everything, just like the accountability and making sure you're doing everything that you need to be doing. Like the 10 minute huddle up, like every day, we weren't doing that. And then I did definitely follow up with getting us together, more consistently. So I'm going to get something on the calendar for 10 minutes in the morning. I'm going to find out when's the best time for everybody. But I think that is really important. As we keep going along, having those 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the afternoon, and making sure that we have that, the game board meeting. Now the game board meeting, do you recommend it being like Monday or?
It's a Monday or Friday.
Okay. Right. All right.
I like Friday because it's just giving you a recap of what you did for the week. But you can do it on Friday or Monday. Okay. All right. Okay, so you guys, I enjoyed the time we spent together today. Again, you're always welcome to email me if you have any questions, any thoughts. Let's keep moving this group forward. All right? It's good to be with you. Have an enjoyable next few days. Take care.
Okay, thank you, Curtis.
All righty. Bye-bye.